I've got some good news already. Rather than 7 missional concepts, I've just got 5. Budget cuts, or paring down. Sometimes less is more. And it's great to be here. Thank you for your ongoing support for us, and prayers for us, and interest in international student ministry. Praise the Lord. You know, occasionally we come across books written by fellow believers that really seem to bless us and have some good things to say. I recently have been reading a book comprised of 60 devotionals based on the New Testament book of Acts. And I've found it to be a big blessing. So, when a person is blessed and has good news, it's natural to want to share this with others, which I'm going to do today. The book is entitled simply Witness and has been written by an American pastor named Darren Carlson. Not Larry Carlson. Where's Larry? Oh, yes, there he is. But Darren, so. And what follows then will be 5 reminders to us about the nature of kingdom expansion and a lifestyle of being on mission for us all, as we see in the book of Acts. So there are 5 things in particular that just struck my interest from these 60 chapters in a way, really. The first thing that struck me is the hospitality of the early church, including the simple yet beautiful and important act of eating together. Now, hospitality is not exclusively about food, but that's a big part of it. Our eating together can be an aid in our outreach, and it can strengthen a congregation. Acts 2:46. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Biblical scholars generally agree that the early church would probably combine the breaking of bread, i.e. the Lord's Supper, with a real community meal afterwards, perhaps much like what you folks do, 1 hour for the Lord's Supper, and then later on you may have a community meal, right? You know, I have some positive memories of eating together with you folks. And I'm glad that you have your eating and kitchen area so close to the sanctuary. It's good. I remember years ago visiting Charles Stanley's church. Now, maybe some of you know, raise your hand if you're familiar with Charles Stanley, a radio preacher. Yes. So I was visiting his church in Atlanta, Georgia. And one thing I was impressed about that I still remember was they had invested quite heavily in hiring people and setting up their facility so that they could have lots of good dining experiences when people came to church. And in my own ministry, I think of how even just a coffee and a muffin with a student or a volunteer can help make our visit more significant, friendly, and human. And I'm grateful for people in my life, such as one of my Regina supporters, who has hosted me numerous times for meals, and has also encouraged me to be hospitable to and in our student ministry. In fact, he has given monthly contributions to our city fund for years, and with some specific suggestions that I use a good amount of this funding for purposes of eating together with students. This has been good advice. There's no doubt that meeting face to face with a person and also eating with them at the same time enhances the human connection between people. I also think back a long time ago now when Mary and I were first married. In our first year of marriage, we lived for most of the year in Oklahoma. I was finishing my master's degree at the University of Oklahoma. And As such, I was an international student. And we went to a church where they recognized that we were international students, or I was an international student anyways, and they recognized we weren't necessarily going to be around there a long time, but they were friendly and hospitable to me. And I remember, for example, one couple took us out on Sunday to a restaurant for dinner. And, you know, they knew we weren't going to be around for the next 10 years or whatever, but it was just an act of sheer kindness and hospitality, which I still remember 40 years later. Yeah. So, let us not grow weary of this kind of activity. Amen? Yeah. And to those of you who have already grasped, or this is something that, you know, you're keen on personally, the importance of hospitality, commendations and affirmations to you. And as a congregation, may this increasingly be used and encouraged in this group. Romans 12, 13, two words, practice hospitality. A second concept or behavior that we can see in the early church is that of lots of corporate prayer. Ha, we've already had some corporate prayer this morning, which is great. And Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to prayer. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Darren Carlson says this, quote, their gatherings weren't marked by strategic plans, you know, strategic plans, but by a deep desperation for God. May we be more prayerful and pray in community. You know, I was blessed about 2 months ago to attend one of your Wednesday night prayer meetings. What a good time. And you may remember the words of a wise man who said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Right? Yes. Carlson tells the story of attending a prayer meeting of a group of Africans from the country of Eritrea. And he went to quite a lengthy description as to what they all prayed about in that one meeting, because the meeting lasted more than 4 hours. Last Sunday night, also, I attended a prayer gathering of Christians from various Bible-believing churches across our city, where we gathered to pray for the Will Graham meetings that are scheduled at the Brandt Center in the middle of June, which we just talked about. Amen. Yeah. This is an outreach to our city, which I am sure you're aware of. And I know there are pros and cons sometimes to evangelistic efforts such as this, right? But I believe the more we pray, the more God will keep these efforts on track and bring glory to Jesus and bring people into the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. So I encourage those of you who agree with me to participate in praying for this outreach. And I know your Wednesday night meetings will probably include, if they haven't already, some prayer for these meetings. Yeah. And it just so happens that the next citywide prayer meeting will be at a church in close proximity to Bethany. About 5 minute drive over here, up Hillsdale Street, Heritage Alliance Church on April the 12th, okay, April 12th, beginning at 6 p.m. So hope you can come on down there and join me and others in praying about that ministry. It's April 12th, Sunday night. A third strong concept. We're already on the third concept. We're over the hump almost. This third strong concept we see in the narrative of Acts is that of, you ready? Boldness. Boldness. Specifically, two verses in Acts chapter 4. First, verse 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And Acts 4, verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." There's our two men praying, and they were asking the Lord to help them. He said, "Consider the threats of these people against us, and enable your servants, us, to speak your word with great boldness." Now, there seems to be, in Canada today, a shortage of boldness among believers. We sometimes see this at university. The Christians, once they get there, it's just all under the table. It's all secretive. Don't want to tell anybody that I might be a believer. And you can understand why. There's a lot of pressure out there, right? It's unfortunate. Even our federal government has seemed to want to curtail freedom of speech and freedom of religion. These trends have been developing in our country for years, and right now, right as I speak, the Canadian Parliament is getting dangerously close to ratifying Bill C-9. Some of you heard of Bill C-9, perhaps? It's a bad bill, because it will very likely create more restriction of speech and religious discussion in public in this country. Even before Bill C-9, there has been increasing pressure not to even speak against certain subjects in public. And I think many of you could probably think of one or two that are sort of forbidden there and not really allowed. During the time in which the book of Acts was taking place, there was much persecution of Christians. But yet, Acts tells us about Paul and others speaking boldly the story and the message of Jesus. And Christians were also praying for boldness, as shown here in Acts 4. One simple aspect of being a witness for Christ is that of being willing to take the initiative to speak about Jesus to people around us. For some reason, I've always remembered Bill Bright's definition of evangelism, which I learned exactly 50 years ago this year. Wow, how time flies. Bill Bright said, "Evangelism is taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God." And for today, I'd like to tie the concept of being bold into Bright's idea of taking the initiative. Because we are confident in God's ability to protect us when we speak for Christ, we take the initiative, we act boldly. Carlson writes a bit about a couple of little anecdotes about this. He says, firstly, Eritrea is the second or third most repressive country in the entire world. That's in Northeast Africa. My friend Guirme recalls living in Eritrea and witnessing a neighbor being beaten for going to church. He once told me, "One Sunday I heard her being beaten badly, but the next Sunday she went back to church. I decided she must have something real. So I went to church without anybody inviting me or telling anybody that I was going. I went myself. And when I arrived, I felt the love of God for me and became a Christian." Wow. He also says about in Asia, he taught at a church where many up-and-coming church planters bore scars on their backs from being beaten by their Hindu parents for becoming Christians. A year after my visit, he says, a homemade bomb was thrown into the church compound. The church carried on as this type of persecution had become rather normal. These people had a bold faith. May we also. And may we be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, Matthew 10, right? But may we also have a holy boldness to tell others about our belief in and commitment to Jesus. A fourth missional concept for us this morning is about missionary reporting, which is referred to in Acts 14. Let's look at Acts 14, verses 26 to 28. I think I have it here. Yeah. Paul and Barnabas are talking here, or it's about Paul and Barnabas. Verse 26, from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God, or commissioned by the church there, for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Yeah. Well, you know, this verse gives me an opportunity to report a bit about our ministry with international students. And I know you wanted to hear a little bit about that. And isn't that handy? I have some good news and some bad news. Because Carlson points out in his book that he gives an example of a mission that just always distorted the truth and tried to get false conversions. And in fact, people were sort of lining up, yeah, you'll get stuff if you convert to Christianity, you know, as a temporary kind of thing. And people around the mission were laughing at them, really, behind their backs. And I know it's not likely that we've encountered missions like this, you know, in this church. But it does happen sometimes, and it's very unfortunate. So it's a good reminder to keep on guard for honest missions. Now, before I talk a bit more in some detail here, I want to mention that there's a statement that Carlson made which made an impression on me, and he said this, when you have stories, encourage the saints. When you are stuck, call them to pray. Oh, you mean missions could be stuck? You mean there could be setbacks, could be difficulties? Could be what looks like a failure? Yes. There is pressure out there to report only the positive things. However, Carlson wants people to be honest and real in their reporting. He actually brings up the fact that in ministry, as in all of life, we have successes and we have setbacks. He says, when you are stuck, call people to pray. I'm so glad that a church like this prays, and I could ask for help. So I will share the good news and the bad news. And I'll start with the bad news that you can pray with us about. A seeming setback lately has been our public lecture outreach. One of our coaches, a retired lawyer who has been honored with a King's Counsel designation, had prepared, he loves to do research, and he'd prepared a thoughtful, well-researched talk about artificial intelligence, which is a very current topic in the world and in academia. We went to a lot of trouble to book a classroom over at the university and did quite a bit of advertising. I handed out literally dozens of personal invite cards to students. About a couple of hundred. We asked numerous people, including you, dear folks, to pray that we would be able to establish some significant new connections with international students through this event. The event turned out okay. We had about 40 plus people attend on the coldest night of this entire winter season. But so far, we have not been able to sustain any significant contact with the international students who did attend. Therefore, this seems to be an example of what Carlson calls being stuck. And he says, when that happens, call people to pray. And so I ask for your prayers for this less than happy news. I think of this powerful short invective in Scripture that we see all over the Bible. You have a situation, it's not ideal, it could be even quite bad. And then it says, but God, right? Yes, right. And this is what we need now. And so help us, pray with us, that God will show us what he had in mind and what he wants to do. And now sometimes we have to take things on faith, right? In Hebrews 11 talked about people who never really saw the physical or the earthly evidence of God's faithfulness and God's judgment and God's plans, but yet they believed and had faith, and sometimes we need to do that too. But let's pray for some more visible evidence of fruit and or contacts, at least, with people. Yeah. Now some more positive news. We are regularly coaching and befriending and presenting Christian truth to 20-plus students weekly. And I have to tell you what a joy that is for me personally and my other six coaches to almost every week of the year to be able to show the love and the hospitality of Christ and tell them the message of Jesus and the gospel. It's great. Yeah. Secondly, next Sunday we will be baptizing one of our students, for which we are grateful. That'll be good. Thirdly, we rejoice because we know that God is still at work even when sometimes we cannot see the obvious results. He is the only one who really brings the increase, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Therefore, when missions are reporting, let's look for honesty and encourage them to report both the victories and the perplexities of ministry. A fifth missional concept I'd like to review is the possibility of divinely orchestrated appointments with people. Let us pray and watch for special encounters with people for their good and God's glory. Amen? Yeah. I don't think we should expect these to happen every month of our lives necessarily. In fact, they may be quite rare. However, I believe God can cause them to happen today, just as he did in the book of Acts. And so, why should we not pray for us to be a part of such God moments? Perhaps the most memorable example of this in Acts is Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch, as recorded in Acts chapter 8. Let's review a bit of this from Scripture. I'll just read verses 26 and 27. Acts 8, 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip was obedient, and he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Wow. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He had an interest in God, which was great. He was spiritually ready and receptive. And God enabled and emboldened Philip to tell this man, quote, the good news about Jesus, verse 35. And the man believed. And it seems that within minutes of believing, even though they were on a desert road, verse 26, the man noticed a place with sufficient water and suggested to Philip that he would like to be baptized, which was done virtually immediately. Now talk about a turbo conversion, right? That was almost the nth degree there. Wow. This story is made up of a series of big and small miracles. And I wouldn't expect it to happen every day. But on the other hand, is our God not able to still do the miraculous? Yes. Of course he is. Maybe the principle we should think about here is the biblical statement, you have not because you ask not. James chapter 4. Perhaps we should make it more a part of our prayer lives to ask for special God things to happen. I know this concept has been a good challenge to me personally. And Darren Carlson recounts the following story about a divine God-arranged appointment. It's quite remarkable. He says, after a long day of meetings in Minneapolis, I drove from Minneapolis to Jamestown, which is mainly west, you know, into North Dakota, Jamestown, North Dakota, along the main highway that goes east and west through North Dakota. Upon arriving at my hotel, I faced an unexpected hiccup. They could not find my reservation. When I showed them my confirmation information, it turned out I had accidentally booked for the following Wednesday. With no rooms available, I quickly searched online for another hotel, picked one from my phone screen, and drove a few miles down the road. When I entered this new hotel, I noticed the man at the front desk had an ESV study Bible right out in front of him on the counter. English Standard Version study Bible. Out of curiosity, I asked him about it. To my surprise, he had bought the book, the Bible, to challenge his Christian friends about their faith. I engaged him in a conversation asking questions. Coincidentally, I had recently been with some of the individuals responsible for editing that very study Bible. Carlson has his PhD in some aspect of biblical studies, so he's in these circles. How about that? Isn't that quite something, eh? I engaged him. His reaction when he heard about this was a mix of disbelief and intrigue, and he repeatedly asked, I can't believe you just walked in here. Why is this happening? Right? And I appreciated the man's hospitality, Carlson goes on. He posed thought-provoking questions and shared his confusion about churches he'd visited. Our dialogue veered into deep topics like the resurrection, ancient manuscripts, Old Testament rules, and more. I'm glad it was him rather than me for some of these topics. But the Lord provides as we need it. He gives us the answers and helps us. So I asked him, carrying on with Carlson, to give me his best arguments against the resurrection. And then I provided the best argument for it, encouraging him to start with this issue and work backward through his other issues and questions. This encounter felt like a divine redirect. Now that's the understatement of the day. Why else would I, out of the blue, decide to stay in Jamestown, which I had never done before, mistakenly book a hotel for the wrong dates, and randomly end up at this man's hotel? And why was he there that night with the ESV's study Bible out on the counter, if not to meet an ambassador of the gospel, me? Right? Yes, right. Now, an important thing to note here. This man working at the front desk of the hotel, whom God obviously led Darren to, he did not profess faith in Christ and ask to be baptized in the hotel pool that evening. This wasn't quite like Acts chapter 8. Doesn't often happen like that, but that's fine. As Scripture tells us, one man sows and another man waters, and God causes the increase, 1 Corinthians 3, in his perfect timing. Bill Bright again, we take the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. Lately, I have been praying, although not enough, but sometimes praying for divine appointments as I walk around on campus at the University of Regina. A few months ago, I noticed a young man who looked like he could be an international student. He gave me a nice smile as I walked by him in a study area. And I seized the moment, so to speak. I stopped and walked over to the guy, gave him my card, and said something like, "You look like a nice young man. If you just send me an email, I would like to buy you lunch sometime." Hospitality. Yes. "Thanks for contacting me soon." And I walked away, prayerful. And I kept praying for more communication from this fellow. About a week later, I did get an email from him establishing connection. We arranged a meeting, and I remember having a very nice lunch session with him over in the Campion College lounge area. When we were meeting, it soon became apparent that he was a devoutly practicing Muslim from a Middle Eastern country. I invited him to, on a private, one-to-one basis, meet with me to explore and discuss the most published book in the history of the world, the Bible. Over 5 billion copies of the Bible have been printed. It's a good part of a university education, perhaps, to know something about such a book. This young man has not replied to my attempt to engage him in ongoing discussions. But perhaps down the road, a few weeks or months, he will. Or just as likely, my encounter with him will be one more link in the chain of people and events that allow him to someday seriously consider Christ's invitation to be his Savior and King. I'm leaving the results to God. So as we conclude then, I pray that the Holy Spirit impresses upon you at least one of these missional concepts so that we can be more missional through our lives in 2026. And just to review, the five concepts talked about today were hospitality, corporate prayer, boldness, honest reporting, and praying for divine appointments. Thanks for inviting me here today and for your ongoing prayers and support. We dearly appreciate them and need them. And may God bless you guys real good. Amen.